forget that the Lord is still on the throne. But He's there. And but we're just little old creatures. And I think so many times that our creature habits and creature thinking will deprive us of the great blessings of the Lord. Now, I want to say again, I am very sober-minded this morning, and I hope I don't seem too somber for you. Maybe not the usual, Brother Hall, but it's got a lot to do with what I'm preaching. And then the turn of events in our country. I'm staggered by it. My heart is thoroughly amazed at what's went on, and I am concerned about the future. If you heard our president, he said something yesterday, and I had it in my mind and lost it from yesterday to today. I should have written it down. But he made a statement to something to this effect, that the situation in the Middle East has drawn the thought of all nations of the world. And friend, when all nations of the world begin to focus on the Middle East, I guarantee you things are getting ready to pick up. In God's business. And we want to be mindful about that. That's God's time clock. And what He's going to do will take place in the Middle East. And I don't believe it's long off either, do you? I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Song of Solomon again this morning. And chapter number 7 and verse number 3. Now, if you'll forgive me, I think I'd be a little more comfortable if I slipped my jacket off. When you find that place, let's stand together. I've forgotten how many times I've preached out of this book in the last couple of years that we've been there. But when we completed chapter 6, it was well over 100 times. And I don't know how many times that we've preached already in chapter 7. But it's looking like we'll be there for a tad bit longer. It's been a real blessing to me. I want to read verse 3 for the sake of time this morning and try to get right into the message that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart. Verse number 3, "Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins." And again, before I begin to preach, I want to say that the Lord is in no way implying anything vulgar here. And it ought not to be taken in that light. But He says, "Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins." Let's pause to pray. Heavenly Father, as we pause this morning with a very heavy heart, broken on the inside, but yet thankful, Lord, that the work of grace continues on, and You know exactly what God's people need, Lord, to keep us walking in the right faith and the right light before Thee. And I pray this morning that You'd still our hearts in Thy Word. And God, that You'd open the Word of God to us that we might behold great and wondrous things from Thy law. I do pray that You'll bless us. That's the reason we're here, to be blessed of Thee, to find fellowship and communion with the Lord, to preach the Word of God and see sinners saved and escape the wrath that is sure to come. Lord, to avoid the pitfalls of life and enjoy an abundant living that You've come that we might have. And I pray, Lord, that You'd bless every heart, that You'd meet every need, satisfy every soul, and may the Lord Jesus today be magnified above measure, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I want to try to preach this morning out of verse number 3 around the thought, a bosom of rest. Amen. Or we might word it, the church at rest. Amen. That may seem like a strange title to put to a message out of this text, but I believe that we'll find a great truth there if we'll look into the Word of God. The Lord said in Matthew 11:28, He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I believe if a sinner once saved by God's grace ought to find rest in the Lord, then the house of God likewise ought to be a place of rest. In the 23rd Psalm, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, he talks about his sheep, him finding rest or laying us down in green pastures and leading us beside still waters. Those still waters and green pastures represent the rest and the safety that we have as a child of God being cradled in the bosom of the Lord. He talks in Isaiah 32:17 about the church or about God's people living in a place of quietness and assurance. Brother Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 spoke of how that we are to pray and make intercession for all people, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now I want to say by way of introduction, the church ought to be a place of rest. It is not a battleground between the people of God. If we're going to battle with anybody, my friend, we ought to do battle with the devil and do battle with sin, but never with one another. Sheep don't bite sheep, by the way. And we ought to be able to come to the house of God and find a place of quiet, rest, and solitude that we might worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, be instructed in the Word of God, preach the gospel to sinners that they could be saved and magnify the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've already said what I'm preaching is going to be very sober. And so I'll probably be a little different in my delivery this morning than I usually am. I'm going to be deliberate and slow for a purpose. I'm going to be dealing with some things that may be very tender and very delicate, but I think as God's people, we need to be made aware of them. Now, in verse 3, the Lord here, it continues His commendation and description of the church. And he likens the church, his bride, to the breast of two young roes, he says, that are even twins. Now, if you remember in chapter 4 and in verse 5, the Spirit of God made the same statement about the church. Again, he likened us to the breast of two young roes, except he added there, which feed among the lilies. And if you'll recall, I preached there on the breast of blessing and how the house of God ought to be a place of blessing for His people. We ought to be able to find nourishment and strength in the house of God, and we ought to be able to find blessing there from the Lord. Now, a young roe, church, is a gazelle, listen carefully, that has never given birth to an offspring. That is right. And the Bible uses this likeness because the church is espoused as a bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know anything about the Bible, Israel is a type of the adulterous wife of Jehovah. That is, that she has played the part of a harlot. She's had many gods, worshipped many idols. And has been the adulterous wife of Jehovah. But the church is likened to a bride, a chaste virgin, because we have been espoused to one husband, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Buddy, I've heard people say all of my ministry, preacher, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. I want to say to you, my friend, that being under grace does not loosen the belt and give us a privilege to sin against God. But neighbor, grace tightens things down even tighter. The Lord said that you're like a chaste bride or a virgin that has been espoused to one husband. That does not give you and I my friend, the privilege of playing the part of a religious harlot. May I say that a harlot is a stench in the nostrils of God, and that is right, and so is a church or a child of God that will take up that position, spiritually speaking, and stray from the Lord and worship somebody other or obey somebody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, he said, "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, I've not said anything about this in the preaching in Solomon, but if you'll notice that the church is always mentioned in Scripture in the feminine gender. I wonder why that is, that we're mentioned in the feminine gender. I think it's because of us being the weaker vessel. Brother, it'd be a happy day when we realize that we are creatures of God and that we're weak and need to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I'll tell you, self-confidence and self-righteousness will destroy a soul. God help you and I to realize, friend, just how weak we are on our own, and without the Lord saving us, we'd surely go to hell, and without Him keeping us, we'd surely go to hell, but without Him nourishing us, we would certainly be overwhelmed by the world, our sin, and overcome, and become a vain thing in the eyes of God. I'm glad that we serve a God that is stronger than we are and able to nourish us in all things. Amen. Amen. Let me read this verse to you, and I won't charge you nothing for it. Brother Peter said, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." And the feminine gender, or the woman, is always considered a weaker vessel in the eyes of God. Amen. And the church is using the feminine gender to reveal to you and I just how weak we are and helpless we are without the Lord. Brother, I'm glad that God put a hedge about me. Without that hedge, sin would overcome me, and the devil would overcome me, and my life would be destroyed upon the earth. Amen. I want to say, secondly, I don't want to hair-lip nobody, but because of our submissive spirit, Ephesians 5:24 said, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ." Now, for my thought, I don't have to read a bit further than that. The church is subject unto Christ. He is the head, and we're the body. He has the preeminence over all things. And friend, we do not march according to our orders, but we march according to the commandments of Almighty God. And I want to say this right here. God has never saved a rebel. Somebody said, "Preacher, I have a problem coming under the authority of Christ." I want to say, friend, if you've never bowed your knee to Him as your authority, and by the way, that means as your Lord and your Master, I want to say, friend, you've never been to Calvary nor saved by the grace of Almighty God. I say that lovingly this morning. As the church is subject unto Christ, even so, let the wives be subject unto their husbands in all things. But here, come on in the house now. Most people claim they have no problem being subject unto Christ. But the struggle comes in with being subject under the authority of the church and the authority of the man of God. And by the way, man of God ought not to be a dictator. He's not a lord over God's heritage. But I will say on the authority of that book that God said that He ought to take the oversight, not by constraint or not for filthy lucre's sake, but because He's been given that oversight by God Almighty Himself to be the overseer over the house of God. Amen. And I'll repeat myself, God never saved a rebel. Well, preacher, I just have a problem listening to the man of God.
That's why, friend, you have a problem listening to the preacher, because you have a real problem listening to God Almighty. Come on in the house, children. I won't charge anything for that. I want to say, thirdly, because of a tender heart. I think that basically women, wives, mothers have a more tender spirit than a man does. And I'll repeat this verse in a minute. But Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Hey, and folks, we're to be tender-hearted before God. Now, hey, and I want to say that a church that is not tender, a church that is not submitted, can never, my friend, be a church that is a place of rest. It will constantly be in turmoil and chaos if there is no submission to the authority of Almighty God, which is the final authority, is the Bible, God's book that He's given to us. Amen. I tell you, Brother James Crawford called me the other day. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "we've got this little deal going on in the church with so-and-so. And I'll not mention any names. They might be listening." But he said, this fella said that he couldn't join our church and be a member here because of our constitution, that it just wasn't right. And said, "We Baptists always live by church covenant and constitution." I want to say, my friend, we Baptists live by the Bible. I'm going to tell you, church constitution and a covenant is a man-made agreement, friend, that can be broken with no problem. But I'm telling you, you can't easily break the Word of God without reaping the consequences from God Almighty. Not from the preacher, not from the church, not from the deacon board, but by from God Almighty Himself. Amen. I know that's right. I'm going to say three or four things and we'll get into the message. The breasts are a source of food for babies, are they not? That church, the church ought to be a place that we can come and be nourished by nourishment. And that's why that we're laid down by our great shepherd in green pastures and led beside still waters. You might as well loosen up because I'm fixing to preach. I'm simply saying, friend, when there's chaos in the house of God, when there's turbulent waters in the house of God, there's not much rest for the sheep. When wolves are lurking on every hand, and there's wild beasts, my friend, on every hand, sheep find it difficult to lay down in green pastures and find nourishment there that they may grow thereby. And I tell you, a church, friend, that is always in chaos and turmoil and confusion and never finding rest, my friend, will never find nourishment from the hand of Almighty God. God help us to live a quiet and a peaceable life on this earth. I want to say this, and it's not even in my thoughts, but have you ever read where Solomon built the temple? You know that he built the first prefabricated building in all the world? Read it. The timbers and the stone that was brought in for the building of the temple, my friend, was hewn out away from the building site, that there would be no sound of the hammer or otherwise in the place where the temple was being made. I want to say that's because churches are built, my friend, on quietness and peace and rest and not upon turmoil and chaos and a great deal of confusion. We just very quietly preach the gospel that sinners are saved and God adds them to the house of God. Don't leave me now. Affection and love are always associated with a mother's bosom. I think of these little babies, I've watched them. I've watched little old Joseph. And sometimes he'll get to whining, or Brother Mark's little baby. And I've watched our little Philip. And I've watched these mamas cradle that little child in their bosom. And buddy, when it lays down in mama's bosom, it just snuggles there, finds such quietness and rest and peace. And friend, that's the way it'll, some of you are so tight right now, you're scared to death. I'm fixing to skin your hide. That's the way the church ought to be. And I'll mention some things about that in a minute. But today, hey, I want to look at the bosom of the church as a place of rest and safety. Isaiah 40:11 said about the Lord, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. That is, He carries us in His bosom, friend, a place of rest and a place of safety, a place of quietness. Acts 9:31 says, Then had the churches rest throughout all Galilee and Samaria. And listen now, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were, careful now, multiplied. When they found rest from persecution, the church was edified and the church was multiplied. And I want to say, my friend, that I'm afraid sinners are not being saved today across America because primarily of the hell that is being raised in most of our churches. Brother, if we can't get along with one another, how on heaven's name can we get along with the sinners on the outside? And if, when we fail to show discipleship by loving one another, how can we love those that are lost and on their way to hell? Are you listening to me? I hope so. When there was rest in the church was edified, that it was built up. It became strong. When there was peace inside the ranks, she was built strong and waxed bold in the Lord and was multiplied and had comfort of the Holy Ghost because they feared the Lord. And I want to say, my friend, there'd be less trouble in churches today if people learned to fear the Lord. But there is no fear before their eyes. Therefore, people are doing today what they did in the book of Judges. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And I hate to even preach like this with visitors here. And I want them to know that we're not ready to split.
Amen.
But there's been friction. Come on in the house now.
Amen.
There's been friction and been a little turmoil. And I've noticed even a little confusion. I told Mrs. Hall, or the men, I think, the other day. I walked back in the back and those ladies were trying to figure out what to paint and how to paint, what color to paint, and it seemed like one wanted this color, another wanted this color, another wanted this color, another wanted this color. And I thought to myself, buddy, 12 years ago when Brother Hall named the colors and things, there weren't no confusion like that. Are you listening? I come back up front and sat down and told Brother Doug and Brother Steve, I said, I'm telling you, the Lord has finally shown Brother Hall what He's trying to do at Island Ford Baptist Church, and it ain't bad. It's the most wonderful thing that I've ever, oh yes, that God's done for our church in years. Come on in the house, children. Yeah, somebody said, what is it? He's trying to reveal our heart. God's trying to show us what we really are. And I'm telling you, we'll never progress in God, friend. We'll never grow in grace and mature until we realize, I'm just not talking about somebody telling us, I'm talking about us seeing for ourselves what we really are before the eyes of Almighty God. Not in the eyes of the preacher, not in the eyes of the Sunday school teacher, but what are we today in the eyes of Almighty God? And I believe the Lord is showing us our heart, and oh yes, and just how dark and black with sin that our heart can literally be before Almighty God. Huh? Well, we'll be ashamed of ourselves. That's right. We're acting like, sometimes we act like little children. We'll be ashamed of ourselves. Hallelujah to God. Amen, Brother Jerry. I'll say amen to that one. Now, I've got just three main points. We'll go to the house. Hey, a church is at rest when? That's your question this morning. When are we really at rest? When is there solitude? When is there quietness? And I'm not talking about quietness from worship. If I wasn't so heavy this morning, I don't mind telling you I'd have been right on Jerome's heels. We don't come to church, friend, to act morbid and dead. We come to church to worship God. To praise Him. Huh? When are we really at rest? When are we at quietude? When is there quietness and rest in the house of God? I want to say, first of all, when its members are healthy. Huh? When its members are healthy. You ever seen anybody sick that can find rest? I woke up this morning at 3:33 a.m. with my arms drawn and my body cramped. My legs and my shoulders felt like they were on fire. I don't know. It might be the disease. It might be arthritis. I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, my friend, when we're unhealthy, when we're diseased, when we're sick in our body, there the physical body cannot rest unless it is healthy, and my friend, a church cannot rest unless it is healthy in the Lord and prospering in God. Sickness and disease. Sickness in the heart of God's people. You know where I'm going to, don't you? When there is disease and sickness in the body, it cannot rest. And when there is sin, when a church is sin sick, it cannot rest. And somebody said, oh, preacher, there's not any whoremongers, adulterers, or people of that nature in here. I would readily agree with that, but I wonder where we are this morning. But when it comes to jealousy, oh yes, and pride, and when it comes to animosity and hatred, and an unforgiven spirit, I wonder where we are this morning in the house of God. I'm going to tell you what I've said. Now you'll just have to listen to what I'm telling you. But I said several weeks ago that I say, hey, if someone comes to you and asks your forgiveness, they are clean, friend. But if you do not forgive them, the monkey is then on your back. And I'm telling you, it is proved out that there has been an unforgiven spirit in the house of God. Now I'm telling you, oh yes, there's no rest when they send sickness in the house of God, friend. Come on in the house. I'm going to name a few. Are you ready? What about that old heart disease that will rob us of our strength? Huh? Don't it do it? I remember when I went to the vitamin herb doctor a few years ago, he said, preacher, he said, I'm going to give you this herbal adjustment and this 21 stuff or whatever it is. I said, it'll strengthen the muscles of your heart. And I noticed before I started taking that, Brother Mark, that I was just tired. I'd get up in the mornings and was just tired and worn out and didn't seem like I had any life or any energy about me. And I'm here to tell you, friend, when there's a problem in the heart in the house of God, when there's heart disease, oh, it's going to get quieter than this before I'm done, friend. When there is heart disease in the house of God, it will rob us of the strength that we ought to have of the Lord. Is that not right? I'll tell you what the Lord told Joshua in Joshua 1:9. He said, have not I commanded thee, be strong. Quit you like men, be strong. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, fellas, when there's heart, that when there's jealousy or pride or an unforgiven spirit that is lurking within our heart and diseases our heart, it will rob us of the strength of the Lord that we ought to have. Somebody said, preacher, how can I do that? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And some of you have proven to me, friend, that there is not one ounce of spiritual joy about you. Weak in God. Boy, we're going to have fun this morning. Somebody said, he's going to carry on like this when visitors are here. Son, we could have been swinging from the chandeliers if we'd all been right with God. Hallelujah. Heart disease. And I may come across this verse later, but what was it that Nehemiah said about the bearers of the burdens have no strength? Huh? We've carried the load and we've lost our strength. We've lost our energy. We've lost our vim. We've lost our vitality. Are you listening to the pastor this morning? Now I'm telling you, friend, problems in the heart will rob us of the strength that we ought to have in our Christian service. Huh? Oh boy, it ain't going to get no better. Not only does heart disease rob us of strength, I've got to hurry because I don't want to be here all day. Lung disease deprives us of our breath. Huh? Brother Robert, I saw run into Brother Robert's sister. Me and my wife and I at the Walmart in Central City the other day. I don't go up here when I don't have to. They got liquor. I go over there. I go if I have to, but don't like to. But I run into to Pat and Vivo. And I said, Vivo, are you retired? He said, no, I'm on disability. And he said, I got emphysema. And I noticed how short the breath was. And friend, I'm telling you, when we're diseased in our lungs, it'll deprive us of the air that we need to flow to the organs, to keep the organs alive. And I'm here to tell you, when there's lung disease in the house of God, it'll cut off the breath of the Holy Ghost of God. And that flow of air, my friend, cannot supply the organs and members of the church with the right amount of breath that we need to function for God. Oh, that's right. What, have you ever seen a man rest? Huh? You think a man can rest when he's got lung disease? Years ago, I visited an old fellow out of Bible Baptist when I was with Brother Nolan. All I ever knew him by was red shirt. He wore a red shirt. Every time you saw him, he was wearing a red shirt. Went to the hospital and he had on red pajamas. Now, hey, look here. He was laying there with a cigarette in his hand. Ashes about 2 inches long on that thing. Fire had done fell off and burnt about 15 holes in that red shirt. And he's laying there like this. Wanting another drag off that cigarette. And he's already diseased his lungs to the point. And you know when that man dies, what they're going to say killed him? Come on in the house, children. They're going to say, heart failure! Heart failure! That's the bottom line of it all, friend, is heart failure. Now I'm here to tell you, when the breath of God is cut off in the house of God, people will die spiritually because of heart failure. They can't get the proper Holy Ghost to their heart to supply the oxygen they need. Boy, ain't we having fun. Somebody help me now. Somebody help me and say amen. Tell you what Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 37:9. Thus saith he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these that are slain, that they may live. And I'm just simply saying this morning, friend, when there's disease in the house, or when we're not healthy, there can be no breath of the Holy Ghost in the house of God. Can we tell you what's wrong this morning? Somebody's grieved the Holy Ghost. Somebody has quenched the grief of the Holy Ghost. You need to read Ephesians 4 and you'll find a list there of things that grieve the Spirit of God. Be ye kind, tender-hearted for one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's right. Oh, I like this one. Eye disease dims their vision. Huh? Miss Hall said, I went down and got my license this week, honey. She said, I was in there taking that test, and they had me to fill out one piece of paper. And she said, I filled it out and said, I hope I answered it right. Said some of the things I couldn't even read. I just wrote in on the blank and went on. And I said, well, you need to get them glasses. Amen. Huh? Dim vision. Amen. Brother John wrote in Revelation 3:18, "Anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see." And I'm here to tell you, friend, if there was ever an hour that God's people need to anoint their eyes that we might see. Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, we see and we see not, and hear and we hear not. Oh, we live in an hour, friend, when our eyes, our vision is dim. And I'm going to use this here in a little bit. Don't want to use it maybe tonight. Without a vision, I may use it here in just a minute. The people perish. I will use it in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's in this morning's message. But ear disease dulls the hearing. What about that, Brother Steve? You had no idea I was going to say that this morning, did you? Ear disease. I remember back in 1979 before they operated on my ears and cut a cancer out of my nose, friend, out of the back end of my nose and put tubes in my ears, that for 6 solid weeks I lay on a bed of affliction with my ears plugged and fluid behind my ears. My head felt like it was swollen. The pain was excruciated. I'd lay in bed at night and cough and gag and spit up that drainage running out of that place in my nose. I literally thought that I was going to die. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when there's no hearing, friend, when there is no hearing, there can be no rest in the house of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm telling you, when we cannot hear what's being preached, and when we cannot hear the Holy Ghost when we read, how can we find rest in the house of God? Can't do it, neighbor. Brother Steve was teaching on that hearing this morning. And I told these men, in hearing, I see the depth of God's grace. You know, the hearing is the last of the 5 senses that we lose. You know, when you're in a coma, many times in a coma, people can hear you, friend. Oh, the good love of God has made it that by hearing the Word of God, sinners are converted. Oh, and He goes to the farthest length that He can to save an old sinner from the depths of his sin. And my friend, my word to you this morning would be, those of you that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is trying to say this morning. God wants our church to be a place of rest and a place of quietness, a place of worship and praise and adoration, not a place of confusion and chaos before God. Listen, you know why every man did that which was right in his own eyes in Judges in Israel, in Israel in the day of the Judges? Because they would not follow anyone. Everyone wanted to do things their way. And I'm going to tell you, in a church, when there's all chiefs and no end ends, you're in a mess, friend. I wonder what would have happened, fellas, if in basic training, when we were all of us that's in the military, if 7 men would have fell out and started counting cadence and all of them counting in a different gear, how much confusion there would have been. Help us today, Lord. Ear disease. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the Word of God. Amen. Buddy, we're there. It ain't going to get no better, so y'all might as well. Hey, what about a broken leg? A broken or a diseased leg hinders our walk and causes pain. Huh? He has showed thee, Micah said, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord thy God. Amen. Now I'm telling you, a diseased leg. Hey, a fall is one thing. It brings pain. No Christian ever fell that it didn't bring pain to the other members. No Christian ever fell, my friend, and there remained a constant rest in the house of God.
Amen.
I believe it was Brother Paul that said in the book of Corinthians, when one suffer, we all suffer. Are you listening? Disease and pain, a broken leg, will hinder our walk with God. Did you ever try to sleep with a broken limb? Little old Steve come to our house yesterday, and little old Brookie, she had a little old bandage around her arm. I said, Brookie, what'd you do to your arm? She said, I broke it.
I don't think she broke it. But to her, she broke it. Pain. Sleepless nights. But I'm going to tell you what we've got this morning. We've got a good pill to take that it'll cure all the pain. Cure all diseases. Bring rest in the house of God. Ain't going to get no better. Y'all better just listen up. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, friend, when there's one member diseased, the whole body suffers from it. Why do you think Brother Paul said, purge out the old leaven? Purge out that one bit of sin that you might be a new lump. I'm here to tell you, friend, that sin in one person in the house of God, illness of soul, a crossway spirit, a bad attitude, a problem with somebody, will always deprive the church of rest. Ain't we having fun today, Miss Kelly? I told you I was sober-minded. Are you ready? There's rest in the house of God when its members are healthy. But there's also rest in the house of God when its members are in harmony. You know, a healthy body just works from the brain, what the brain tells it. Just without even knowing it. My brain can tell me to scratch my head. It told me yesterday that a thorn had got me in the foot. Man, I bled plumb through my tennis shoes. Brother Ricky said, "Did you cut yourself with that axe, preacher?" I thought I had, man, but I'm telling you, it was just a thorn. But my brain said, "The foot hurts." Amen. The head told me last night, "Your shoulder hurts." Amen. We're one body and many members. Amen. That's right. Members ought to work in harmony. There ought to be no schism in the body. Boy, I'm telling you, it's tightening down, so tight now. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish or not. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care, get this now, one for another. In other words, there's no big I's and little U's at Island Ford Baptist Church. Huh? Ought to have the same care one for another. There's a... what's the word I'm looking for that James used? That says about the Lord? No respect of persons. I believe that's what he said. Surely we don't have respect of persons around here. We don't pick favorites. You can smile. I'm trying to help it. We don't pick favorites. We don't have cliques. That clique out there might save your life, but the cliques in here will destroy it. One body are we? What the song we just sang this morning? No big eyes, no little U's, my friend. All one body working together under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we work together in harmony. No schisms, no divisions in the body. And what Brother Paul said, and I don't think we got all this, but a pound, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Brother Paul said, I hear that some of you say that I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and others say I'm of Christ. He said, are you not carnal?
Right.
Are you not carnal when you say that? Are you not carnal when you try to pit one man against another man?
Yes, right.
Are you not carnal in the house of God when you choose up friends and try to pit this person against that person in the house of God? Come on, the house, children. We're preaching today, buddy. By the way, I didn't start around here yesterday. I've been here a while. God, help us not to do that. To try to make friends and pull somebody's ear.
Amen.
To be puffed up, Paul said.
Amen.
Puffed up, warning you. Somebody said, preacher, I wish you wouldn't preach that. Is it in the Bible or not?
Yes.
If it's in the Bible, I've got every right to preach it.
Amen.
that you be not puffed up one against the other. James said, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Not only no schism, that schism will destroy the harmony. I'm going to tell you something else that will destroy the harmony. Sarcasm. Having fun, ain't we, brother? Short fuses. I told a couple, I told Steve and Brother Doug and Brother Steve back in the office the other day, I said, I've not grown much in the Lord, but one thing I have done, I've learned to get more, I've grown more tolerable. Amen. Brother Doug said, amen, preacher. Amen, praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I may not sound too tolerable this morning. But I want to say I'm quite confident that I have been more than patient.
Yes, sir.
And went beyond. Church going into a Jubilee meeting, we can't have it. Can I get kind of bold and make a statement? As hired workers on the staff here,
amen.
Hired workers,
amen.
You're expected to volunteer for everything that comes along.
Amen.
You and your spouse.
Amen.
And set an example.
That's right.
And not only volunteer, expected to be there.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, I'm just not going to volunteer and do everything. Well, you need to come talk to me then. No sarcasm. No schisms. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Are you listening? No schism. No sarcasm. May I say no shunning? Do you know who shuns? Come on, folks. Let's relax a little. Do you know who shuns? Little kids will pick their favorites. And it never failed. When I was a boy growing up, there's three of us. Me, my cousin Dale, my cousin Ronnie. And if me and Dale got together first, we'd shun Ronnie. If Ronnie and Dale got together, they'd shun me. If me and Ronnie got together, we'd shun old Dale. And you know, I find that in children. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's terrible when you find it amongst adults in the house of God. That we'll shun. I mean, honestly, before God. Sometimes we act like somebody, like others, has got bad breath.
Right. Amen.
Got lice or termites. Crabs. Come on in the house. Now this one's going to floor us. 3 points is all I had. Healthy, harmony, and happy. I wonder how happy we really are today. Huh? Are you happy to be in the house of God? I'm going to tell you something. I've got to hand it to our men. I generally commend the ladies, but I've got to commend our men. They come in here yesterday and work. The ladies done great back there. I'm not. Hey, this is just where we are and what God told me to preach. The men come in yesterday and done great. I even had some of the men that say, you mean we're not having prayer meeting tonight? I told Brother, I said, well, Brother Shelby over there had to drive 175 miles in one day coming in here and back and in here and back. Brother Andy said, I drove 3,000 miles to get here. I'm proud of it. Place looks good on the outside, don't it? I'm not chiding you for that. I'm simply throwing out some preventive measures this morning. I believe it's what God wants. Huh? Happy. Now, this is going to burn. When are we happy? May I say we're happy with godly correction. Now, hey, if you're right with God, If you're right with God, a wise man, my friend, will take rebuke and grow wiser. But a fool will be a shame in the eyes of Almighty God. Listen to what Job said. Behold, happy is the man when whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Why is it? I want you to listen to this now. This is one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. Job 5:17. For he maketh sore.
Amen.
You sore this morning? For he maketh sore. That's the chastening part of it.
Amen.
He maketh sore.
Amen.
But the same one that makes sore, he bringeth up.
Amen.
And that bringeth sore there means that it, that chastening, when God brings us sore, brings us down. Many times chastisement is used as a method of humbling our hearts before Almighty God. You ever been any more humbled in your life when your daddy grabbed you up and you was about a 14-year-old boy and busted your hide? Mighty macho, 14 years old, and got spanked, buddy. That's quite humbling, ain't it? I'm here to tell you, God make us sore. God make us sore, but God also bring us up. God knows how to spank us and bring us down, but God knows how to strengthen and encourage us and lift us up once we're down. And He's got to take us down to take us up. If you went up all the time, you'd get a little too high, but you've got to go up, down a little, and back up. Amen to God, and God will promote you and bless you that way. Listen to the last half of that verse. Listen to the last half. He maketh sore and bringeth up. He woundeth. And His hands make it whole.
Amen.
Somebody, I've heard preachers all my life preach about these wounded Christians.
Amen.
And they always want to lay it on to the preacher or somebody else.
Right.
He wounded.
Right.
And His hands make it whole.
Amen.
Can I share this with you? I guess maybe I've been on a little pity party lately or something. I don't know. And you don't mind me telling you that, do you? I mean, you want Brother Hall to be honest? Good. But I sat down in the... I was studying this morning. I got done. I was finished and prayed. And I finished praying. And I try to listen sometimes to whoever's on the 9 o'clock preachers. I try to listen to their music and kind of get my soul fed a little bit that way before I come to church. And I went in from my room upstairs and went down to the other end of the... to the bedroom upstairs and sat down. Turned on that radio, and when I first thing when I turned it on, some woman said, "Pastor wanted me to sing this song this morning." You hear it, Brother Jerome? And that lady in a very high-pitched voice, reminded me a whole lot of Lisa's voice. That lady in that high-pitched voice said, "In the dark of the midnight, have I all hid my face."
Amen.
And she got on that second verse and she said, "Satan whispered, there's no need to try." And I'm going to tell you, not in no audible voice, but I'm telling you, as sure to my heart, as I'm standing in front of you this morning, the Holy Ghost of God said, "Gary, what are you sitting here for?" And like Elijah, I thought, "Lord, I've been zealous for the God of hosts." And I say this honestly, and you know it, and we got visitors, but everybody in here knows it. There ain't another preacher in this town would spit on me if I was burning. And I said, "Lord, I've been zealous for the God of hosts. They've torn down your altars. They've destroyed the altars of God. And it seemed like nobody cares anymore." And I said, "Lord," and I said, "even in the house of God, it just seems like there's a dullness and a deadness. And I just wonder if folks are really concerned." And that small, still voice said, "Gary, what are you doing sitting in here? Don't you know if I had 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal, said, I've got a remnant today that have not bowed their knee to compromise.
Amen.
And you're not standing alone.
Amen.
And I walked back in that other room and I said, Lord, after telling me that, how in heaven's name you expect me to preach what I'm going to try to preach this morning? He said, let her rip!
Amen.
Let her rip, son! Let her rip!
Amen.
Let them know that there cannot be quietness and rest in the house of God.
Amen.
And without harmony, my friend, and without happiness, my friend,
Amen.
And without a healthy soul and a healthy spirit, there can be no rest in the house of God. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. We ought to rejoice when God corrects us. If He lets us continue to go down that one path of destruction, I'm going to tell you, we'll wind up our lives, our homes, our families in an absolute mess. That's right, man. Now, I'm about done. Just bear with me a minute. I want to say we're happy also when we attend to God's commandments.
Amen.
You know, you can't be happy unless you obey the Bible.
Amen.
He said in Proverbs 29:18, now I want you to get this. I have wrestled this verse of Scripture for years and tried to understand it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But the Holy Ghost put that word but. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Amen.
And where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Without a vision, people perish. I believe what the Lord is trying to tell us there. Without us having opened eyes, He's not talking about the souls of men and soul winning. He is talking about our ability to see the Word of God. And understand the Word of God. Without a vision, the people perish. But, happy is he that keepeth the law. They can't be any happiness, friends. Without obedience to that book. And without a revelation of God's law and understanding, I wrote this down. The vision referred to in this verse is a revelation of God's Word. And men are happy as they walk in the light of God's Word. Trust and obey, trust and obey. There's no other way for my friend to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. I'll close with this. And I hope my son-in-law don't get any wise ideas on this. But men are happy when they raise goodly children.
Amen.
I don't have time to go into all that. But Psalm 127:4 and 5. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man,
Amen.
So are children of the youth.
Amen.
Happy is the man
Amen.
That has his quiver full of them.
Amen.
Happy is the man.
Amen. That
has his quiver full of them.
Yes,
but now get this now. Listen carefully. Are y'all listening to me now?
Yes.
If you take it, and I love Brother Ball. I love some of these other men. But if you take that verse of Scripture, to have your quiver full is to have as many kids as your wife can possibly have, you and they both are wrong. Come on in the house, children. As a mighty man with arrows in his hand,
Amen.
So is the children of the youth. And what he's saying there, friend, happy is the man whose children are like a mighty man with arrows in their hand. They are mighty. They are defended. What he's saying is you're happy if you've got your quiver full of children who are being defended by the right home, the right church, the right preaching, the right kind of life. They're protected as a mighty man protects the children of his youth with arrows. That's why I believe in homeschooling. Solomon said, thy two breasts are like two young roes
Amen.
That are twins. a place of rest and a place of safety. And there can be no rest without health, harmony, and happiness.
Amen.
Let's stand together. I've done my best this morning. Done my best. Feel like I failed, but I've done my best. Let me ask you something this morning. You healthy? You happy? I've used the old cliche, happier than a hog rooting in a slop. The lower end of the barrel. I wonder how happy we really are. I wonder how much harmony there really is. I wonder how healthy we really are this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for your help this day and for your people, the privilege of trying to preach what I feel like was laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you will move this morning our soul and spirit. Father, that you would help us to find a place of quiet rest in the house of God. A place without confusion, chaos, and turmoil. Though the storm rages around us, yet on the inside is there peace. I pray you'll save someone today. Get a hold of some heart, some troubled soul. Encourage them in the faith. And I do pray that what's been said will glorify the Lord Jesus. Bless every heart, refresh every spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Trust and obey, Brother George. What page is that? Pardon? 332. While these are praying, maybe you need to pray. Not the easiest thought I've ever preached on. And not the freest spirit I've ever enjoyed. But I do believe that the message was clear. And I hope it'll be taken to heart. Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, don't let your ears become dull of hearing. Respond to what you've heard. Let's sing, Brother George.
Lord,
be happy in Jesus.